On this episode of Brad on Will, we have Houston Rockets legend's daughter on the show, Nicole Murphy. So stay tuned. We're very excited to talk to her. Let's dive into it. All right, and welcome back to another episode of Ride On Will. I'm your first host, Will. You can find me on Instagram, Twitter, all that good stuff at Bias Houston for all the spaces, content aggregation, anything you need as far as Houston sports. We got you. Shout out Clutch City Control Room on Instagram and Twitter. We appreciate you guys for, you know, subscribing and supporting the channel, supporting the podcast, you know, our growth. With that, I'm going to pass off to Brad. We can jump right in.
Yeah, as always, I'm your other host, Brado. You can catch me on Instagram and Twitter at Brado NBA. Like stats, all that good stuff, I got you covered. And if you're here listening right now, make sure to subscribe to the channel. It helps a lot. And without further ado, we have a very special guest. We have the daughter of a Houston Rockets legend, the original number 23, Calvin Murphy. So without further ado, I'll let you introduce yourself. How are you?
I'm good. And like you said, my name is Brianna Murphy. I'm one of the youngest of my father's children. I'm only 22 years old because I know a lot of people think my father's up in age. You're like, I'm his daughter. I'm 22. And like you said, I'm like the biggest Houston Rockets fan because of my father. So here I am.
That's perfect.
And hey. Of course, I'm joining the broadcasting field like you guys as well. So
there you go.
Hey, we're going to jump into that for you. But real quick, before we jumped into the questions, I have to ask you, I'm going to put you a little bit on the spot here, right? For those of you who are not familiar with the way these podcasts work, while we do the intro, Brad does it. The guest waits and watches, and so I can see that you were kind of vibing to the music there for a second. One, I want to say I appreciate that because I don't know if you guys know I made that beat that plays. In the intro. So I was going to say, like, I appreciate the fact that you like the music there. I just want to kind of chop on you for a second there, but it's all good.
That's cool. That's cool. I like that.
It's all good. No. And without further ado, we can jump right in. I mean, like Brad said, we saw you were, you know, we kind of got familiar with you because of, you know, popping up on Twitter. As a matter of fact, I think like the first time I saw you was you had quote tweeted me, cause I posted a picture of LeBron James in a Rockets jersey. And you were like, nah, like my dad's the only 23 in Rockets history. So you know, we want to start, you know, every podcast by getting to know our guests a little bit better and let them talk about themselves. So off camera we kind of talked a little bit, and you were talking about, you know, you transferred to TSU, you know, you're going into your senior year, you know, you're trying to go into the broadcast, I feel like you said. So just kind of, you know, talk about yourself real quick, let people know who you are, because, you know, you are Calvin Murphy's daughter, but you also have, you know, other things to talk about. So
right. And I want you to know how much I truly appreciate you saying that, because people hear my father's name and then I don't have one anymore. So thank you for that. Like you said, I transferred from Lamar University to Texas Southern. Now, I've always been a communication major from my very first year. I love what I do. I got into broadcasting not because my father does it, despite the fact that he does, but because I like the game of basketball. I'm just not athletically inclined to play the game. So being able to be a part of the game in other aspects is really important to me. One, of course, it helps me connect with my father in a different way. We got that business kind of relationship as well as the family father-daughter thing. So that's pretty much all I do. You know, every single day is just trying to stay up on the current stats. If it's women's basketball, men's, I do football, baseball, pretty much any sport you got in the scope, you know. So I'm just trying to broaden my horizon. Which was the point of coming home, transferring back to Houston? Because a lot of people wanted to know why I passed up 3 D1 universities here in Houston to go to Lamar. Because I was supposed to go to HBU. But I wanted a fresh start. And I felt like being somewhere with new surroundings would give me that. And it led me to finding my new love for being in front of the camera. And I also did behind the camera work as well. Didn't really like that as much. It's too many buttons. But otherwise,
you see that
pretty simple, you know. I'm pretty straightforward and I'm not complex at all.
Yeah, Will, first of all, I want to say that was a, I'm happy that you said that, you know, because she is her own person. Yes, she's the daughter of Kyle Murphy, but she is her own person. So thank you for saying that, because I was going to say that. So, you know, with that being said, of course, you've probably gotten that a lot. It's probably annoying at times, but oh, no, it's got to be amazing. But what was it like ultimately? Yeah, what was it like ultimately growing up being the daughter of a legend?
When you think of going to school, people have this false sense of who I am because of who my father is, you know. Granted, my dad is a Hall of Famer and he did play in the basketball league, but he's not one of those players like Shaquille O'Neal or like Kobe Bryant. So my father wasn't a person that made hundreds of millions of dollars, you know. So growing up would just be pretty much as regular as anyone else. And my father's not a, like rich children. So we pretty much work for everything that we have, you know. He believes in hard work because that's the era that he grew up in. Things weren't handed to you. And he believe, and he believes in making us work for what it is that we want. So growing up with him as a father, it was very fun. I can tell you that it's very fun. It's never a dull moment with my dad. Even if you guys watch him on his AT&T show, he has a lot of life when he speaks. Mm-hmm. And he tells as many jokes as a comedian. So it's definitely different. The only downfall is people do see my father as a celebrity, of course. Because to me, he's just that. But to everybody else, he's a legend. And people don't always respect the boundaries of family, you know? So we could be out and about and people will disturb and they don't care what you're doing. But the good thing about my dad is he loves his fans. So it's not a big deal to him, but for me, it's like, wow, you know. But then it's also something to admire, to see people love my father for what it is that he loves and what he does. So it's very inspirational, motivating, fun, you know, random. Random would be the perfect word.
Really quick before I pass it off to Will for the next question. For random, give me an example. Why random?
Random. Because my father would literally wake up and do anything. Like I woke up one day and I called him. I'm like, hey dad, what are you doing? Oh, I'm on my way to Toronto. That's not something you hear
right
from most 70-year-old men. They're on their way to Toronto. It's 7 a.m. and they're in the airport, you know. Yeah. So okay, like all right. So with my dad, it's like he'll hop up and do just about anything, and we are expected to just be cool with it, you know. Right. Say nothing. He's like, I'm the dad, I'm grown. It's like, sir, this is random.
That's hilarious.
No, I'll say this. So you talk about like growing up with it and, you know, how he made you guys, you know, work for everything you have. It wasn't like, you know, too different than maybe the rest of us. How old were you when you realized the gravity of like who your dad was? You know what I'm saying? Because like you said, he is.
Oh, I was a kid.
Okay. So like, did you know when you were? Okay.
Mm-hmm. So like the jersey you have hanging behind you, from when the Rockets wore those, I knew then when Tracy McGrady played with us, and I had to be about 4 or 5.
Right.
Because my dad did the sideline behind the bench with Bill Worrell for a good while. So I automatically, because when we go to the games, it's just like it is now, but it was bigger then. Because by the time I was born, my father had only been in the Hall of Fame for a few years. So his name was still pretty much really big and out there. So it was automatic. It's like you couldn't even hide it. Now, my sister was different. My sister was like, I think Dad's famous. Maybe a little bit.
Something like that, right?
Right, something like that. But something yeah, like pretty that. Much from jump. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
So he doesn't hide it either. He loves who he is. His favorite line is, you better Google. He loves to tell somebody to Google him. So, always.
Well, look, I have one last Calvin Murphy question for you. Then we'll talk about you because I know you have a lot of basketball knowledge. You cover the game yourself, so I'm excited to, you know, pick your brain about that. So, last Calvin Murphy related question. I mean, to you, for him to have his jersey in the Raptors at a Rockets game. And if you ever go to a Rockets game and you see that jersey in the Raptors, like, how does that feel for you?
I love it. It's something that I aspire to, you know. When when my career is all said and done and I retire, I want to be a Hall of Famer in my business, just as he was, you know. It's very inspirational to me. I just love seeing it because I know what went into it. Because my father was the very first man under 6 feet to even be drafted into the NBA, you know. So he opened a lot of doors for people. Isaiah Thomas, Muggsy Bowles, people that came after him, you know. And it's important because he helped change lives. And I like the fact that I'm a part of something like that, that I can one day continue the legacy of somebody who put so much into, but anybody around him that wanted to aspire to something similar to his.
That's a great response. I love that. I love that.
I got one final Calvin Murphy question before we completely transition. One more. And I think the listeners and, you know, a lot of the Calvin Murphys, they're really going to like this question. Have you seen your dad's closet before?
Wow. That is a common question. Yes. It's probably bigger than some people's rooms.
I imagine.
For the most part, my father never repeats a suit. You'll probably see the same suit maybe once or twice, but completely full. All his suits come with their own shoes, socks, and handkerchiefs. So really, really big. He actually broke the bar in his closet before from his suit. So he had to have a metal one reinforced actually into the wall so that wouldn't happen again because he has so many clothes.
That sounds accurate. Calvin wears the best suits I've ever seen. Every time he pops up on the screen.
Don't let him hear that because he feels that way.
Yeah.
And I think he's earned the right to have, that's why I asked that question, because like he's known, you know, for his basketball, but I'd say like, you know, in his broadcasting days, he's just as much known for like wearing the most interesting suit you've ever seen in your entire life. So he's definitely earned that.
They sit down and they plan those for weeks at a time, and they're made overseas, so they're not even made here at first. So the fabric and everything is too much. He's a very bougie person when it comes to his suits.
Yeah, that's lovely. But so we're done with Calvin, so we're going to talk about basketball with you now. Got to start off with, and you don't even have to say Calvin here, but who is your favorite basketball player?
That man right there, Allen Iverson.
Get into it. Oh, Allen. Yeah. She said Allen Iverson. I thought you were going to say that's comedy.
A lot of people expect me to, but the truth is I've never seen my father play. And we discussed that before we came on. I've actually never even watched my father play. Mm-hmm. I just know the accolades that he has and the things that he's been recognized for. I'm not even sure if he did them, you know, because I've never seen him play. So one of my favorite people to watch would be Allen Iverson.
Yeah,
definitely. Cause you gotta love Allen, you know, cause he wasn't the biggest player, but he took down some of the biggest players, and that just means a lot, you know. Especially cause, like I said, my father was a small man, so any player that can get it done with the big guys and still be top notch is awesome.
Yeah, Allen, you know, for me, that's one of my favorite players as well. Just coming out of Georgetown, he has so much style to his game, so much flash. You know, rookie year came in, crossing up MJ, you know what I'm saying? Like he almost single-handedly, you know, that first game, he single-handedly in that poster that you have, single-handedly pretty much beat that Lakers team. And even though they got, you know, swept the rest of the series,
I think that was his confidence that I love so much. Because like with the poster, it takes a lot of confidence to disrespect another grown man like that.
Definitely.
On national television, you know? And it's like, he's confident in the skill set that he has. Like, okay, I can do this because I know what I'm capable of. Granted, most people probably wouldn't go that route, but definitely his confidence is something that you can't miss.
No, I definitely.
You speaking about confidence, right? And so the Rockets, you know, we've drafted probably the most confident prospect in that 2021 draft class, Jalen Green. So you talked about, you know, you're a huge Rockets fan. What are your thoughts on like the direction of the team, you know, with Jalen and, you know, all the other young guys we have right now?
I'm excited. A lot of people feel that because of the fact that our roster is so young that we're guaranteed to tank seasons. But I don't see it that way. I see the fact that all of our players being young is just bringing in a new generation. Kobe was young. LeBron was young. Jordan was young. So age really isn't a big thing here. I feel like all we have to do as far as the young players and our new draft picks with Jabari Smith coming in, that we just need to put the pieces in the right place. And then we basically be safe because they have the skills. It's not that they don't have the skills, you know, from beating certain teams like the Lakers this year. Not to say that was too hard to do this season, but they did it, which means they are capable of beating caliber players. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I just feel like if Silas puts the right pieces in the right places, we could win probably at least 50 to 60 games this year.
Oh, you are very optimistic. I love it.
So we're gonna make sure we heard that properly, right? And that's your take. I respect every take, but
we're definitely gonna put this
50 to 60 games is what
nobody believes in my team, and I want them to have about 50 to 60 games. Okay, I'll take about 45. I'll take that. Okay. That'll be good for me too. It's just I want them to win more games, definitely more games than they did last season, because the way they performed, it made people believe that 50 and 60 games is out of the question, you know? Because
right.
I definitely put a big smile on y'all's face. I do believe in our team because they're pretty good young players. So once they get set into who they are as a player, I feel like they'll like the sky's not even a limit for them.
Yeah, so follow up on you're very optimistic. I love this. I've never heard anyone say this, and I absolutely love that you said they'd win at least 45 games at a minimum. So with that being the case, I think myself, Jalen Green is going to have a huge leap in year two, like absolutely crazy leap in year two. So what do you think about Jalen Green, you know, next year? If they win 45, 50, maybe 60 games, what do you expect to see from Jalen Green?
The thing about Jalen Green is coming in, people underestimated him because he went second instead of going first. So I feel like this year, because of everything people said about his rookie year, that now he has something to prove. You know, he's been in the gym here, there, overseas, just putting in work the entire summer, you know, getting bigger and everything like that. So I think Jalen Green is coming back with a vengeance this season to basically prove to them that I belonged in the number one spot. I can carry my team to where it is that they want to go. You know, I'm not just a 20-year-old knucklehead that I'm really about business. So I see that in him, and I believe he can do that. Hopefully this season, because like I said, I want my 45 games because I got everybody on my neck. Nobody believes that the Rockets can do that now, but I see it. I just, like I said, I just feel like Silas has to put the pieces in the right place.
I hear that. I agree with you.
I was one of the people who I am not as hopeful about 45 games. I mean, like I respect it though. Like if that's your honest opinion, I respect it. It's nothing right there. But yeah, I'm very optimistic.
It's more of a
I'm
wish.
Not. Yeah. For sure. Like I said,
I
was very, I'm more optimistic on the outlook of this team next season. A lot of people want us to like be bad again next season. And like we, me and Brad talked about this on the podcast before and Twitter and space and stuff like that a couple of times. But like, I'm of the opinion that like, I'm good on intentionally losing games next year. Like I would much rather us, like you said, I would much rather win 45 games next season than to win the number one pick in the draft. Like I would much rather this team, you know, be put in that position to start winning games. Like you just said it, like for us to win 45 games or 60 games, like that means that the pieces that we have on this roster, that means we did something right, right? Like if Jalen Green is able to take us, Jalen, Jabari, Shingun, okay, but we got a whole nice young core. It means Silas is, like you said, putting guys in the right position. Like if, in my opinion, if we're able to do that, that means that like we've done something right. And you know, there are teams out there who, you know, who's like the Kings, the Sixers, who, you know, they'll draft for Timberwolves, they'll draft for like almost a decade and then
Sixers drafted Ben Simmons, so.
Hey, I real quick, how do you feel about Ben Simmons?
Ben Simmons is a waste of money. A lot of money. You know, he's taking advantage of protocols, you know, my neck and my back, you know. So it's like, get on the court. They pay you to be on the court. One thing my dad always told me was back in his day, if you didn't play, you didn't get paid. Ben Simmons sat out a whole season and collected his entire check, you know?
Yeah.
So I feel like some things as far as the league should go back to the way they were to prevent players like Ben Simmons from taking advantage of that. Because I don't think he's a bad player. I just don't think he's a team player.
I mean, The reason I asked that question, I'll finish up right now, I'll pass it up to you. The reason I asked that question, like I said, I'm not a huge Ben Simmons guy either. But my point I was trying to make was that, like, you know, there's teams out there who will draft top five for like a whole like decade or something, and then like all they have to show for it is like one playoff series win or something like that. You know, I mean, the Sixers are a little bit more of an exception, but like the Timberwolves, the Kings, I'm probably forgetting the team out there. But like, so I would much rather like us, you know, get that 45 wins that you're talking about. I would love to do that.
But then you see the Rockets, I feel like the problem with the Rockets is they always get good draft picks, you know, they always get good players on their team, whether they trade for them or whatnot. Because a lot of the players that have come through the Rockets organization have gone on to win championships and make it to the finals and things like that, you know? But I feel like their issue comes in that they like to try to choose a franchise player like they did with James Harden and try to build their team around that one person instead of building the team as a team, if that makes sense. Trying to make everybody adjust to one person's style of play, I don't believe is conducive to a winning environment. And they do that a lot, you know? So now that Harden's gone, they've moved Jalen Green into the position. But the good thing about Jalen Green is he's more of a team player. So he incorporates, you know, KPJ and Kevin Martin and all the players that he played with this season. Wall didn't play this season. What's his name? Tall. That's bad.
Christian Wood, world's favorite player.
Thank you, Christian Wood.
You're all good.
Christian Wood. So, I'm truly ready for now. I'm ready for this season. Oh, I see it. I do.
Good.
Not, like I said, the 45 is definitely a wish, but
you're all good.
It's possible. It's
I'm here for it. I'm here for it.
Yeah, my next question is, you know, if the Rockets had gotten Ben Simmons, thankfully they didn't. We're on the same page here with Ben Simmons. I'm not gonna, you know, talk about him like that. But the good thing about us not getting him, you know, the Rockets don't get Kevin Porter Jr. And you know, Kevin Porter Jr. this past year, his first year point guard, started extremely slow. Will, if I was on top of my game, I would have had that turnover chart pulled up that I posted yesterday. But that chart pretty much shows that Kevin Porter Jr. as a point guard, he was one of the worst turnover point guards in the NBA last year. And then he finished below league average in turnover percentage, which is really good. It was first year point guard. He's a team player. I love him. He's going to be a leader. But, Nicole, what are your thoughts on Kevin Porter Jr.? He just turned 22. I think he has a really bright future with us. But what do you think?
I think you did your research. I love Kevin Porter Jr. He's, like, my favorite player on the team right now.
Same.
A lot of people ignore his skill set because of a lot of the issues that he had in his career, as far as, you know, his issues in Cleveland and then coming to the Rockets and still having kind of like that attitude attached to him. So a lot of people don't pay attention to his skill, but I think he's one of the best ball handlers that we do have on our team. And I like the fact that, like I said, him and Jalen Green are team players. So I like the way he incorporates everybody else in the play. And he's getting better at learning how to play his point guard position. He's putting in the work that it takes to be good at that position. You know, he notices that he was leading in turnovers and things like that. And he puts in the work outside of the court, you know. And I think that's really important for players that want to lead, that they got to lead themselves first. You know, and he doesn't do things for the media and stuff like that. He's going, he's handling business. And I really appreciate the fact that he's putting the team first, you know. To me, it seems like nothing's more important to him than making the Rockets a better team. And that's what we need. We need players that see the Rockets winning those 60 games and going on to the finals and stuff like that. We need players that actually believe in the organization, and he does change his life and give him a new outlook on things. And I think that's important, because what we give to him, he'll give to us.
That's a great response.
You know, I'm kind of with you there. I would say Keyshawn probably my favorite player, probably in the league right now. Honestly, I'd say Kevin Porter is probably my favorite player in the league right now. But yeah, like I'm kind of with you on that. That he can, you know, he's somebody I think we should be consider building around, right, with his skill set and what he brings to the table, and you know, just the amount of potential he has. So I want to ask you, you kind of touched on just a little bit, and Brad kind of touched on it towards the end of his question, but like, one of the biggest criticisms of Kevin Porter Jr.'s game is he a point guard? Is he not? Should he, you know, maybe play a different position? So, like, where do you lie on that? Do you think he's a point guard? You know, are you cool with that? Where do you – how do you want to see him best utilized, I guess, is the question.
To see him best utilized, honestly, I believe he's a person that can play the whole floor, you know, unless you're trying to make him a big man. That's not going to pretty much get you anywhere. But I think he's a person that can play 4 out of 5 positions, and I don't think it's a problem having him in the point guard stance because, like I said, he's putting in the work that it takes to be good at that position. But otherwise, if I took him from point guard, I'd make him a shooting guard. You know, make sure you keep the ball in his hand, keep him a very important part of each play, you know, because he can shoot the ball, he can move the ball, so that's what's important.
Definitely, yeah. And the biggest, you know, proponent, people want to move KPJ off of the point guard position. This might be the 10th time I said on the show. I'll say it 11 times.
I was going to alley-oop you. I was going to make sure you said it.
I have to say it. You know,
I was going
to
make sure you said it.
Yeah, right. He shoots 48.2% on catch and shoot threes. You know what I'm saying? That's the best in the NBA. And I'll say it again next week.
It's hard, too. Look, that's hard.
Yeah. He just needs to up that volume. But, you know, even then, as good as a shooter as he is, I truly believe that he is a point guard. You really could go back and watch the games towards the end of the season, specifically that Kings game. I know you're going to say Brad is the Kings. I don't care what team it was. He looked amazing at the point guard position. He did a majority of those games at the end of the year. So I'm really high on Kevin Porter Jr. But, yeah.
I think another thing about him that separates him from a lot of players, he's able to play at a high speed. So a lot of players come down the court full speed and it's going to mess up everything that they're, you know, trying to do, whether it's pass or shoot the ball. But at high speed, he can go stop and pop. He can take it all the way to the hole. You know what I'm saying? He can handle it in the midst of all of that, too. So the way I see Kevin Porter Jr. is, don't get mad at me when I say this. Uh-oh. I see him as a younger version of Kyrie Irving. I feel like once he gets set into the actual player that he is, he's going to resemble Kyrie Irving a lot. Which is going to be perfect for us.
Also, I think you kind of just summarized kind of how I feel about KP, because like I said, he's my favorite player probably in the NBA. And I've been a huge proponent of him. Like, I think he is a point guard. I think he can't play that position in the modern NBA. And I think you kind of just made that point for me. It's like a lot of people say like, oh, we need like a pass first point guard and we need a guy who's like, and I'm like, man, like how many of the top point guards in the NBA right now are like the old school John Stockton, Steve Nash. Like, we don't see that much anymore. Like you said, Kyrie Irving is, you know, he's kind of up and down right now. I know, like, we'll feel different about it. But, like, I think he's still a top 3, top 5 guy at point guard in our league right now. You know?
Because truth be told, like, you have teams like the Lakers. You have a 6'8 linebacker as a point guard, you know?
Thank you.
I think it's just about being able to play the position. Because if you can do it, let him do it, you know?
Yeah, so like you just made it for like once again. You keep making the point for me. It's like Kyrie Irving is no, you're good, but Kyrie Irving is like he's a top 3 point guard in our league right now, and he's not a pass first guy. Like his job is when he's on the floor is to get a bucket, and you know if he draws a double team or the defense is paying attention to him, he can dump it off to the open guy, and that's how he racks up his assists. And I'm like, that's how KPJ can play. KPJ is a bucket. He's a guy who can go out there. He's gonna, you know, put pressure on the rim, put pressure on the defense. And because of that, someone's going to be open and he can redirect plays off of that. I mean, like exactly. You said too, like, I think a lot of teams right now, especially with the way the NBA is trending, you really don't want your point guard to be like your point guard. You want it to be like your LeBron, your Kawhi, your guys, like the jumbo playmaker, right? Like those are the guys who, the Lucas, right? Those are the guys who get it done, you know, now as far as like being your team's floor general. It's not really your point guard. It's a lot of times it's like, I mean, shoot, the Nuggets have a 7-foot point guard, right? So like those are the guys that you want to be your point. So I don't know. That's just kind of how I feel about it.
I just feel like a point guard, the one important thing that a point guard has to have, they can have nothing else. They have to be able to lead the floor, if that makes sense. They have to be able to control all other four positions. So if you can do that, if you're capable of doing that from the top of the key, then anything else is just a bonus, you know? So if you can make sure you can get to this player, that player, your ball can go here, there, away, and everywhere, then you're basically set. Anything else is just going to make it even smoother for you, I think. Because like I said, I never played the game. You know, I'm not.
Wait, really quick before I jump into my Rockets question. You never once played like organized basketball at all? Like you never tried to?
I played basketball in middle school. And okay. Then when it was time to go to high school, I'm like, okay, it's high school time. I'm going to let my dad train me. We're going to be good. I trained with my dad for about 2 weeks, and I knew for a fact that basketball was for everybody else but me. One, I don't like to run.
I don't blame you.
So we do it from one side of the court to the other. I'm done. I can't. I played volleyball in high school, though. I was supposed to play in college, but I didn't. Volleyball was my forte.
There you go.
Court about this big. You go from right here to right here, super quick. So
there you go. Well, I'll say this. I really enjoyed watching volleyball at my time in my school. That's a really fun sport. And I know you had a lot of fun playing that. But, you know, as for my Rockets question, you know, you talked about the Rockets. You know, they used to just build around specifically James Harden, right? And that's how they constructed their team. And now they're taking a different approach. And in doing that, it kind of showed in the last draft that we had when they brought in three defensive guys, you know, with Jabari Smith, Tari Eason, Ty Washington. And I wanted to really touch on right now Jabari Smith and Tari Eason. I think they fit perfectly with the Rockets young core. And I wanted to pick your brain really quickly, put you on the spot. But what do you think about some of those young guys that the Rockets have coming in?
Like you said, they're going to be perfect fits because they're what we were missing, you know? So if you take James Harden and you turn him into two different players, they would be Eason and Jabari Smith. So when you take them and you separate them, you can put them on both sides of the court. So now you basically have two forms of James Harden on your court, but they're on two different ends doing things that he couldn't do physically as one person, if that makes sense. So Jabari has the size that we need, you know? Because, I mean, of course, we have players like Sagoon that are good in the paint, you know? But we need somebody that's, I don't want to say domineering, but kind of to that effect, you know? And with Eason, I'm not too familiar with his game, but I do feel like with him on the court, we could cut back on things like unnecessary turnover where players are working too hard to get things done. They can put him in that position to where it's like, okay, we have a little leeway now, if that makes sense. Because I feel like he has the type of skill that won't necessarily need to play all four positions, but he's a helping hand in all four positions. So they're going to be great fits. Like I told you, I already see where we're going this season, you know, all the way to the top.
There you go. I love it.
Yeah.
Y'all don't believe me.
No, of course we believe you, Nicole. Come on. Of course we do.
I would say, like, you touched on another great point, too, with, like, how you said, like, you know, in the past, it was, like, the James Harden show and everything was built around him and the team went as far as he did. And then, like, you know, this season – we have, you know, guys like that, like Jalen Green and KPJ, but like it's a team effort for sure. You know, we're building right now. Like it's stuffing a lot more, like I said, team oriented, moving the ball, getting multiple guys involved, and, you know, not just relying on one person to win games for us. And so, like, one of those guys you kind of touched on too was Alperen Şengün. Are you any particular? Yeah, okay. So I see you making a face right now. I'll let you go ahead and take the floor.
I'm a huge fan because I really enjoy when players are 18 and 19 years old and they have the skill set of players that have been playing for 5 to 6 years, you know? I love his enthusiasm and the way he just comes on the court and you feel his presence, you know? He's not afraid to do anything on the court. He's going to shoot. He's going to pass, you know? He gonna try to block it, he gonna try to dunk it. So he's everywhere, and I love that. He's not afraid to get on the floor and be a part of the game, which is so, so important. And I wanna go on record now saying this publicly and in the light that I've never been a James Harden fan, and I never will be.
Okay.
He played here for too many years, and when they traded him, I was excited. It's like the best day of my life because I feel like doing that opened the door for this here, the rebuild that we've been needing for a while now. And we get to start with players that haven't been, for lack of a better term, tainted, you know? Because James Harden playing in Oklahoma for so long, he started enjoying the fact that he was the highlight, the star player. So when he came down here, I feel like the Rockets just filled him in with that and just ran with it. And I feel like his head got too big down here. So it didn't allow for us to rebuild the way that we needed to, like we are now. So I just wanted to say that.
Especially Will's like favorite player. So that's hilarious.
No, I mean, I get it. If you feel the way that you feel, I mean, I probably feel the way you feel about Allen Iverson, about James Harden. That was my guy growing up, but mm-hmm. I get it, right? I get it if people aren't, but you kind of like alley-oop my next question I have for you, my last question I have. But put you on the spot again. Uh-oh. Your top five favorite Rockets of all time, right? So this has to be the top five best. It just has to be your favorite. And you don't have to throw your dad in there if you do not want to.
I have to, because if I don't, then I'll hear it.
You're going to hear about it later.
I'm going to start number one. It's going to be the man himself, Calvin Murphy. And then Tracy McGrady. I loved T-Mac. That was my guy. Yao Ming. I like the Yao Ming. Not even on a basketball tip, but he was a sweet guy. He definitely was a sweet guy. And then I'm going to throw in like a one that people probably forgot about. Aaron Brooks was a thing
for me. Yeah.
Like, Aaron Brooks was definitely a thing for me. And then one more. KPJ. He's going to throw KPJ in there.
Yeah, I like this list. I like this list, man. It's funny because like I was talking to some people on Twitter the last couple of weeks, and like I've been a pretty big Aaron Brooks fan, but people love him. Like I didn't know that he was like, he's like, when after you get behind like the James Hardens and the Hakeems, like he's up there with like people's favorite Rockets of all time. Yeah. I had no idea people loved him like that. Like I'm not saying like I think he's a bad player, like, he was a great player, but it's just shocking to me that like somebody who was, he was here for, I don't know, it was like 5-6 seasons, maybe not even that much.
Around there. But that was around, we're all around the same age, you know what I'm saying? And that's, you know, I could tell from her list, you know, three of those people, you know, 2 through 4 were all, you like that 05, 09 era of mm-hmm. Rockets basketball, which I really love. That got me into basketball, which is why I love Tracy McGrady and Yao so much. And especially Aaron Brooks. He was amazing. You know, even when most improved or sixth man of the year, I actually don't know. I'll say most improved potentially. But, you know, Aaron Brooks was probably so exciting to watch. And I really love that list that you just threw out there. And the fact that you put KPJ at 5,
you got because a lot of people go – When you ask people that question, whether it be about, you know, the Rockets, Celtics, or whatever, people like to say their top five are the celebrities of that team. Correct. You know, so most people would have went with Olajuwon and Drexler, people who won the chip. But like I said, I'm not the type of person that goes off of common things. I wasn't alive to see them play. I've never seen this, that, you know? So my favorite players that I've watched play from the Rockets would be those five.
Including your dad, right?
Minus my father. Like I said, never watched him play, but got to put him on the list.
There you go.
Got to put him on there.
Yeah. I respect it. Well, that was all the questions for me. Will, did you have anything else that you wanted to ask?
No, I mean, it was like nice to have you on the podcast. We had to get you on. So I said, you know, learn about you a little bit more, learn about your father, learn about, you know, your thoughts on the direction of the Rockets. We're going to have to get you back on the show sometime later in the season, of course, you know, maybe we can, you know, catch up to you on what you think about, you know, how the season's playing out. Maybe when we win game 44, right, out of the 45, when we win 44, we'll get you on the podcast right before 45. Okay. So that'll.
Oh yeah. So I'm big on I told you so's. A lot of people don't take that route, but that's my route. I have to tell you. I told you.
Well, and we'll give you like just 10 minutes straight. You can just talk your smack, whatever you want to say, just unfiltered. Yeah. Yeah.
There you go. And even if it's, you know, even if it's 24. Yeah. Even if it's 24 instead of 24, we're going to get
24. I'm probably going to pick a new team. If it's 24, I'm probably going
She's joking.
Truth be told, I rock with the Rockets. If they won 2 games this season, I still tell people it was somebody else's fault, and it's not us. We're awful. So
there you go. Well, my mistake here, because I never really asked in the beginning, but make sure to tell the people where they can find you on Twitter at, because you're a fun follow.
Yes, you can find me on Twitter at @BNicoleMurphy with 2 Y's, and I do have a YouTube channel, Nicole 2.0.
Perfect.
So you can find me on those two. I will be adding new content, and I'm on Twitter every day.
If you see her at TSU, make sure y'all say what's up.
Come a little bell on, so when I tweet, it's like ESPN.
There you go. Last thing I wanted to add really quickly. Go ahead. I heard you start talking.
I was going to say, otherwise, it's been a pleasure. I was, like, super excited. As soon as you DM'd me last night, the first person I called was my dad. Woke him up out of sleep, and I'm like, Dad, look, we're doing a podcast tomorrow, you know? I say, they're going to put it up, and I know somebody going to see it. I say, this is step one. And he was like, I'm happy. Call me tomorrow. So that's going to be my first call when I'm done. Thank you guys so much for thinking of me. Because I'm literally a no one. So thank you so much for including me. In this podcast.
Give yourself some more credit, man. Give yourself some more credit than that.
I'm Brianna Murphy, you know?
Yeah.
No.
There you go.
But thank you so much.
Of course. I definitely saw your tweet after. You were like, I'm so excited. I didn't know if that was a connection between our messages and getting you on the podcast, but that made me happy to see that. And I'm happy to see your enthusiasm that, you know, we got you on the show. Don't regret that at all. We're definitely going to get you on again. For win 44 or win 45, so.
And if we do 45, that means we definitely gonna do 60. So I will see y'all again.
and we will. I promise we would love that. I would love to get you on 3 different times this season because we won 60 games. So.
That sounds perfect.
Yep. And look, as always, you guys, you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at BradoNBA. All your favorite stats, highlights, I got you covered, and Will got you covered on. The best stuff out there. You know, he's a king of Twitter, but we'll go ahead and plug yourself.
Y'all can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Bias Houston. Like I said, shout out Clutch City Control Room. Shout out Brido and Will on Instagram and Twitter. We'll start, you know, being a little bit more active on those social media fronts. And, you know, like I said, make sure y'all tune into the different, like, spaces. Who knows? We might get Nicole to be on a space with us one time, you know? So
I see his spaces all the time because I've been following Will for a while. So I see your spaces all the time.
And I feel bad. I want to apologize. I did not know. I would have, like, been followed you back. I just saw you that one day. And I was like, oh, like, this is Calvin Murphy's daughter. Let me follow her back. I did not know.
And even, I know we're closing off, but I have to say something about that too. Because a lot of people came at me about that post after I posted.
I didn't know. Oh my gosh.
One person was like, you know, that's Michael Jordan. Your dad can some bad words, you know?
Oh no.
And I'm just like, people are like this. But I just wanted to say, I no disrespect to Michael Jordan because he's a legend in himself. But I feel like my father's legacy is attached to that jersey. And you wouldn't take a 23 Bulls jersey and put it on anyone else.
Definitely. Yep.
Facts.
And that's.
I wish I knew that. I would have said something.
Will's over there researching right now.
Yeah, I'm about to go find it because my goodness, I didn't know.
I deleted the tweet. They were mean. I just like.
Yeah, people on Twitter are ruthless. You just got.
Oh no! Yeah, we're gonna have to handle that.
I can't do this. People are mean. So, and that's the thing. I'm going into media. I'm supposed to be stronger than this. I couldn't handle it.
It takes some time to get, like, when I first kind of got, it took some time for me to kind of just build up that touch. I was the same way where it's like, you say, it could just be somebody who's completely random, but you say something mean about me. I'm like, all right, bro, like that'll ruin my mood. So like,
they had like some Star Wars profile picture.
It's always something like that. Or a Frank Ocean one, you know, no shade.
But. Yeah, like some, but yes.
I wish I would have known. Said something. Okay. Yeah, we're gonna handle that for you. Okay. I did not know that. But yeah, we'll definitely get you on a space sometime. You're always welcome there. And anything that we do. Yeah. So thank you for coming on the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Yep.
And when I do once I get mine up and running, you guys will be definitely my first guest.
I love that. I appreciate that.
We'll be there.
All right, you guys have a wonderful day. Thank you so much one more time.
Of course. No problem. Yeah, we'll be back next week, guys. Make sure to stay tuned.